Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:12 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is March 6th. Well, today we saw a reasonably significant move in gold, where we continue to see that there's a rebound going on from around the $1,300 level. But of course, it's going to have to sustain a move up to new recovery highs before we will have truly convincing evidence that this is nothing more than a consolidation. But I think the odds are stacked in favor of that conclusion, because when we look at this chart over the course of 5 years, we can see that it's been ranging below $1,400 since 2013, that there was a clear change in 2016 when we got that massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend. That was a type 2 characteristic, in a bottoming characteristic. And very frequently, after a type 2 top or bottom, we get a period of right-hand extension. And that's exactly what we've had with gold. It's been ranging now for at least 18 months, and it is reasonably steady here in the region of the upper side of this range. So it isn't beyond the bounds of possibility that it can break higher. What I find particularly interesting right now is the commonality, but not perhaps in the way that we're used to seeing it. So, for example, gold has been ranging now for the better part of 5 years. When we look at US 10-year treasuries, they've been ranging for approximately 6, 7 years. So that 3% level has been an area of resistance since 2013, and that was the beginning of the base in gold. But by and large, the yield has been ranging below 3 since the breakdown in 2011. When we look at tips, and that is, I think, something that people are perhaps not so accustomed to keeping an eye on, well, then we're also presented with a range. And that range is below about 80 basis points and has also been ongoing since the negative yield environment that was unwound in 2013. And this has been an inert range, primarily above the zero bound, for the last 5 years. So we have this very close correlation between the outlook for the bond market and gold and inflation. Well, gold tends to do best in a negative real interest rate environment, when the inflation rate is rising faster than the willingness of central banks to raise interest rates to outpace it. So that's something that is, I think, we should really keep at the back of our minds, because there is the possibility, and we have increasing evidence of it, that inflation is likely to pick up. We've already seen a great deal of asset price inflation, and we've seen inflation coming through in the price of services, and not least education and insurance. Then what we're also beginning to see is that there are inflationary potential signs coming through, for example, even in Amazon, where an increasing number of products are being put onto this moniker, where you have to build up your shopping cart until it exceeds $25 or $35 before you can employ your Prime membership, which encourages people to buy more, but it increases the average price. There is certainly, if you shop around, Amazon is no longer the cheapest place to buy all goods, but it is they're now trading on convenience rather than absolute price. And if you start to look at that going forward, that's inflationary. The fact that people are rushing out to buy houses is also inflationary. The fact that you have commodity prices, which have also been ranging for a significant period, beginning to now test the upper side of that range, well, again, this is also inflationary. So there is the possibility that inflation breaks on the upside, and if it does, well, then gold is going to be the go-to asset. And that is something that I think is beginning to come from the very back page of the newspaper and making its way progressively further forward. What we can certainly see, though, is that the gold miners would appear to be underappreciated. I'm going to post an Excel sheet in the comment of the day today, where I've compared the all-in costs for all of the constituents of the Market Vectors Gold Miners ETF. And the one thing that really pops out is that that the vast majority of these companies have got an all-in sustaining cash production cost for gold in the region of about $750 to $800, and the price is around well, is firming from 1350. So they have a substantial cash margin, and yet this index has been going sideways for more than a year already. Again, this is an addition. This is a very inert period where we have this right-hand extension following the type 2 bottom characteristic. Ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and there is the strong likelihood that the gold miners have got potential to rally here in a dynamic manner if gold does break on the upside. So I think that when we are thinking about where are all the opportunities, well, it's generally speaking in the cyclical sectors, and there is nothing more cyclical than mining. But then we also have to think about what the opportunity costs are of chasing overextended trends higher. Well, the Dow Jones was in very marginally positive territory in here today, but it wasn't really able to hold all of its advance. It pulled back very sharply last week, and it has steadied over the last two sessions. But perhaps the more important point is that when it pulled back by approximately 2,500 points in 2015, it held up the market for about 7 or 8 months, and we are currently about 1 month into this consolidation. If in fact that is what it is, a consolidation, then what we can anticipate is a fair share of ranging before we can see that the market is capable of sustaining a move upwards. Now, one thing that is important when we think about the constituents of the Dow Jones, not so much that it is Boeing, which is the largest constituent and has been an accelerating trend, but that Amazon is not in the Dow Jones. And Amazon has cruised through $1,500, and it was up an additional $14 in here today. Now, this is a clear acceleration of an already well-developed advance. And certainly, this is not the first time that Amazon has accelerated, and it is part of the reason that people have wanted to own it, is because it is prone to accelerations. But it is also prone to swingeing pullbacks when you don't get the news that people have been looking for. And at the moment, it is not far off $400 overextended relative to the trend mean. Well, I think it then we can also conclude that when eventually we see topping activity in Amazon, then that is going to be a significant harbinger of trouble for the wider stock market. Then when we look at what's going on in China, well, the A-share market was in positive territory in here today, and it continues to bounce, and that's quite positive. And then we also have the H-share index bouncing approximately 300 points, and that's a higher reaction low now from the low that we saw in February, and it helps to confirm that support is beginning to come back here in the region of the trend mean. Then when you look at the Hang Seng, you are getting a relatively similar condition, that it is bouncing from the region of the trend mean, and a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to question the broad consistency of this advance. Nevertheless, this was the largest pullback that we've seen in at least 2 years, so it may take some time to build support around these levels before a significant move to additional new highs can be sustained. One thing that I have at the back of my head with regard to the Chinese market is that the majority of investors are probably concluding that the Communist Party increasingly identifying itself with the government rather than Deng Xiaoping's separation of the economy from the party, or from then what we're now seeing is the integration of the economy into the party once more. So companies like Tencent and Alibaba and Baidu are increasingly going to become organs of the government. That's obviously going to have that's going to pose issues for companies, Chinese companies trying to make acquisitions overseas, since they are increasingly going to simply be viewed as organs of the government. And that can be positive in the short term, but it represents a risk in the medium to longer term, because at some stage we're going to get to a point where the corporate sector is going to be at the mercy of political ambition. And then that is going to impact profitability and governance. And then what that suggests is that yes, we have had a sharp pullback and it is in the region of the trend mean, and there is the potential for a bounce. But when we think about it in over the medium term, governance is deteriorating in China, and therefore one has to be very disciplined in terms of the consistency of trends. That when we see that Chinese instruments are beginning to lose uptrend consistency, and this was a larger pullback, then we have to be more cautious than we might otherwise be. Because when you have deteriorating governance, then a market is less deserving of the benefit of the doubt. And I think that is perhaps the most important characteristic that we have to keep in mind now. Now, the Indian market was down about 100 points in here today as it unwinds its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and it is pretty much there at this stage. I mentioned yesterday that India has perhaps more to lose from the talk of tariffs than China does, and the banking sector is now testing the region of the trend mean, and it needs to bounce in a hurry if we are going to continue to see it finding support here. If we look over the course of the last 10 years, there have been a number of occasions when the banking sector has traded below the trend mean, and this could be one of those. It could be turning into a somewhat larger correction. And every time we have seen it pull back below the trend mean, then particularly in 2016, or indeed in 2017, or in 2013, we have had very clear and emphatic upward dynamics to confirm support coming back in. And so far, we haven't had any of those. And until we do, we will not have confirmation that this reaction and consolidation has ended. Then, when we look at Australia, well, the Australian market has been ranging below this 6,000 level now for the last few weeks. It is sandwiched between 6,000 and the region of the trend mean, which is a very tight range indeed. It is going to have to continue to find support in the region of the early February lows if a potential for additional higher to lateral ranging is to be given the benefit of the doubt. And I suspect that a number of international investors are going to be keeping an eye on the Australian dollar. It firmed today from above the 77 cent level. And this corresponds with the region of the trend mean. Again, this is another commodity-related instrument that has been, albeit this has been ranging with an upward bias for the last 2 years. It has failed so far to surmount the 80 cent level. If it can string a couple of days on the upside together, then it will break the short-term progression of lower rally highs and confirm more than very short-term support in the region of the trend mean, and that would open up the potential for an additional run back towards the 80 cent level. If the 80 cent level is taken out, then Australia is probably going to become a more attractive investment destination from the perspective of international investors, but then it is also going to be perhaps a rerun of the kind of environment we had back in 2011, 2012, when Australian investors weren't particularly enamored with anything outside of their domestic market because it wasn't doing particularly well when one was converting it back into Australian dollars. So the Australian resources sector is one of those that should benefit if we see commodities breaking on the upside. It is pulling back towards the region of the trend mean right now, but this continues to represent a recovery trajectory over the medium term, and reversions to the mean can generally be considered attractive entry opportunities from the perspective of a medium-term investor. Then, when we look at what's going on in Europe, well, the Italian index was among the best performers in here today. So what people have concluded is that because of what is essentially a hung parliament that there probably isn't going to be an awful lot of change. Perhaps the more important point is that the index is now bouncing from the region of the trend mean, and it has been largely range bound for a decade. If it can continue to bounce, then that's likely to increase the potential that it will eventually break on the upside. What I think is important is that you don't buy countries, you buy companies. And the Italian corporate sector has a long history of profiting and succeeding in an environment which is characterized by bureaucratic sclerosis. And as perhaps India, I think Italy is another country that could be impacted more by a trade war and tariffs than anything to do with the political establishment. Well, right now, there is, I think, increasing appetite from President Trump to increase tariffs in some way, shape, or form, because it was one of his election promises. And just about everyone in his administration wants to deter him from, in fact, doing that. Well, what that suggests is that so far the tariffs are likely to be modest in nature, but this is also a potential electioneering way of viewing the market, and it is something that could intensify later, so it is something that we do need to pay attention to. Then when we look at the oil market, well, Brent crude was in mildly positive territory in here today, but pretty much unchanged overall. It continues to range above the $60 area, but $70 remains an area of psychological resistance. The biggest thing that has happened was that pullback that we saw from the February, from the January high, and it is going to take some consolidation. If the lows around the February that we saw in February hold, well, then we can conclude that the medium-term advance is still reasonably intact. But if we start to see new lows put in, then we're in a downtrend, and this impressive rally that we saw from early June, or from late June, excuse me, is probably going to be over. So I think this is a key pivotal time for oil prices. Well, when we look at the broader European markets, the DAX index pulled back really quite sharply last week, and it was in negative territory, or at least it didn't hold its highs in here today. It has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean, and this was a pretty significant drawdown. Well, it's some of the larger industrial companies like Siemens that have been leading on the downside, and that $100 area was a previous area of resistance, and it really should now act as an area of support. Then if we look at, for example, Adidas, well, that was among the best performers all the way from 2015 onwards, but it has lost momentum, and it is actually now trading below the trend mean. So there are a significant number of the major constituents of the DAX have begun to lose uptrend consistency, and I think that that speaks volumes for the health of the European economy. So when we look at, for example, the Eurostox, which is the broad index, it is also trading below the 400 level and has failed to sustain a move above it. Europe has been lagging for a significant period, and it really does need to demonstrate that it can sustain a move up and out of this range to confirm that this was 18-year and counting range is going to be resolved on the upside soon. I think it'll be resolved on the upside at some stage, but whether that is going to be soon or not remains very much an open question. Angela Merkel is now in power and wants to get on with European integration in conjunction with France. Quite whether there is the appetite for that in Europe when a number of the peripheral countries have been labouring under fiscal austerity for a decade and have nothing to show for it is a rather big question. So the only way that they're going to be brought on side is whether then you get a system of national transfers, much in the same way that you have Social Security in The US are transfers between the various states and territories within Canada. This is something that Europe is going to have to develop if they want to achieve their political goal of political union. Well, there is a very big question mark over whether anyone has got the appetite for that, and I think that is weighing on the sentiment towards the stock market. And when we think about what the outlook for the euro is, well, the US is continuing to raise interest rates, and Europe is increasingly moving towards the end of its quantitative easing program. Well, I think this is a very important juncture because one of the things that has held the Eurozone together has been quantitative easing. Well, as we come towards the end of the Eurozone's quantitative easing program, the euro is strengthening up, and that is reducing the competitiveness of European exports. And at the same time, it is raising the possibility that without that sea of liquidity, which papers over so many cracks, will the Eurozone not then enter another constitutional crisis on this front? So there is a risk here that Europe does come out of what has been a relatively quiet period for the last few years and become a more difficult period over the course of the next 9 months. And of course, the other big headache for Europe is what's going on with the UK. Well, the pound is now trading below 112 against the euro. This has been a very tight range. When we get a conclusive break, then it's likely to be emphatic in nature. And there is the possibility that that break could be lower. Well, if it's lower, it would suggest that the UK is not going to get anything or close to anywhere close to what it wants from the Brexit negotiations. If it breaks on the upside, then the UK is likely to be in the ascendancy. So this is, I think, perhaps the best barometer we have for what's going on in terms of the Brexit negotiations. One thing that I think is worth keeping an eye on is the AIM 100 index, because it has been among the best performing of the small cap indices globally. And it has been doing particularly well since the devaluation of the pound following the Brexit negotiations. It is currently firming from the region of the trend mean, and it has been outpacing the gains on both the FTSE 100 and the FTSE 350 for much of the last few years. And it also represents the sector that is likely to do best in the event that we do get additional weakness from the pound. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.